In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. The schools go back tomorrow, and for many people this will be the end of the Easter holidays, but the church continues with Easter, and we will continue this right up to Ascension Day. And as you can see, our bold Easter candle burn in as a great sign of the truth and the fact of the resurrection. So we stay with it because it's so important. It's so important, in fact, that every Sunday that we meet is really a resurrection day. We gather to celebrate the resurrection together. And this is at the very heart of what we know as Christians. If you were going to ask me today what would stop me believing in the Christian faith, I wonder if Keith could turn this mic down a bit, can you? If you were to ask me today what could stop believing in the Christian faith, it would be if some archaeologist somewhere found the bones of Jesus, that somehow they were able to definitively say these are actually the bones of Jesus Christ. Then I could no longer be a Christian. I would have to leave the priesthood. Because as a Christian, I believe that what we are basing our faith on ultimately is the truth of the resurrection. And so once again, this is central to what we've come to believe. Now, do you remember on Easter Sunday, I used the illustration of the teacup? Do you remember this, for those that were here? What did I say about the teacup? Pardon? Yep, more than that. It gets cold. So what happens in the course of the universe, it gets more disordered and less ordered. And unless we reverse this process of death, really, of the universe, then we are all ultimately in despair. And the resurrection reverses that great story of the universe. It breaks in. Now today I want to give you another illustration, and that's my glasses here. So everybody here who wears glasses or has use of them, when you come to think about why the resurrection is so important, I want you to remember your glasses. Because you see, it was through the glass, if you like, the glasses of the resurrection, that the early Christians began to understand everything about Jesus. They filtered the whole of the Jesus story through their glasses of the resurrection. People sometimes say he looks at the world through rose-colored spectacles. Have you heard of that? Well, the Christian, actually, in the early church, they looked through the world with resurrection spectacles. Because it was the resurrection, that the time after time after time, that he reappeared and reappeared and reappeared, and he ate with them, and they saw him, and they saw his feet and his hands. It was these things that completely transformed their whole worldview. It transformed their view of who Jesus was, because they saw him through the resurrection spectacles. It transformed his life because they looked, if you like, back through the tomb to his life and the things that they couldn't understand about him whilst he lived, the things that he said, the way he behaved, the miracles, all of it. Some of it they couldn't make sense of it. And even later they couldn't make sense of it, but it didn't matter because they looked through everything, through his resurrection spectacles. It was to redefine the whole of Christianity for them. And most important of all, they were to redefine their death. Because they saw ultimately that their death wasn't despair and decay and loss and no hope. that through the resurrection they would receive a new life. And that's why they were quite open to the possibility of martyrdom. And all of these early disciples, the first followers of Jesus, most of them were martyred for their death. And they went to that death joyfully because they looked at their life through resurrection spectacles. It transformed the whole of their worldview. And they began, of course, to meet on Sunday, because it was on Sunday, the first day of week, that he'd risen from the dead. Well, why is that remarkable? Well, it's because they were Jews. The very first Christians were Jews, and their Sabbath was Saturday, and they kept that day absolutely sacrosanct. There would be nothing that would change that day. But one thing did change that day, and they were willing to meet, therefore, on the first day of the week, and that became their Sabbath. It was because Jesus had risen from the dead on the first day of the week, the Sunday. And you know, they also began to discard the need to keep the law. You think about this. These were Jews. They changed the Sabbath, and they also decided, because of the resurrection, that they no longer needed to keep the law. So if you read the Old Testament, there is book after book about the law and about what we should do in order to keep the rules of the law. But they discarded what was called the Torah. Why did they do that? It was because they began to understand their life totally from the perspective of the resurrection. Those laws were no longer necessary to be kept, and they discarded the Torah. So the sort of things that really make me believe in this story is the fact that they met on the first day of the week, that became their Sabbath. The fact that they were willing to discard the whole of the Torah because of the resurrection. It was transformative. And you'll know from church history, first of all, it was by and large women who began to become part of the Christian story and follow the Jesus movement. And it was slaves who found a new freedom in Christ, and they became part of the Jesus movement. So this whole movement in this society began below. From the women and the slaves, all of a sudden, Christianity began to grow, and it has never stopped growing. And they saw everything through the eyes of the resurrection, the resurrection spectacles. And do you know where they most believe that they encountered the risen Lord? Where did they most encounter him? They encountered him, they believed, when they came together on the first day of the week, and they broke bread together. So here today, as we come, if you only realize the power of this, as we come and we break bread together, the early Christians believed that they met with the risen Lord. And that is why it's wonderful that Father Nad Carney, the first priest in this parish, he had the great symbol of the resurrection above the altar table. That is not the crucifixion, that is the resurrection, because he believed that it was as we broke bread together and we took wine, we encountered the risen Lord. So, if you want to be healed today, you need to encounter the risen Lord. If you want to be forgiven today, you need to encounter the risen Lord. If you need peace in your heart and your mind because of the things that you faced recently in your life that have come your way from nowhere, whoa, you need to encounter the risen Lord. And that is why it's so important that we kneel together. And did you know here is the place that we encounter the risen Lord? It's a foretaste of heaven, says the New Testament writers. It's our resurrection. And that's why wonderfully we must never take what we do in the breaking of bread for granted. Here is forgiveness. Here is healing. Here is encountering the risen Lord. Here is our peace. And here is our hope. I go from here today, as I said earlier, to anoint somebody who is near death. But the wonderful thing, because of the resurrection story, even in that place, we can bring hope. She can die in hope and not despair because of the risen Lord. So, I finish with a little story. Some years ago, I was in Kensington in a very smart hotel, and we were taking our daughter out for her 21st birthday treat, and we started with afternoon tea at a very smart hotel. And I looked out across the window of Kensington Gardens, and I was aware of a long path, and along the path there were these wonderful gas lamps. You might have seen them. They're in Westminster and in Kensington. I believe there are about 1,700 of them, gas lamps, that go back to a previous century, at least. And they're lit by a wonderful gas mantle in the lamp. And as it gets dark in the twilight, the lamp comes on. And it's radiant and they're beautiful. And I said to my wife, Barbara, wow, look at that gas lamp, still kept by the London boroughs as a hallmark of our wonderful history. And something spoke to me. It was just before Easter. Something spoke to me as I looked at the gas lamp. Nostalgic, beautiful, historical, something to be prized. 1,700 of them, we believe. Something spoke to me. And the voice said this. It said, I am not the gas lamp. I am not the gas lamp. I am the sunrise. I am not the gas lamp. I am the sunrise. I am not the gas lamp. I am the sunrise. You see, I realized that so much of my faith was quaint. It was nostalgic. It perhaps belonged to a different period, but somehow it wasn't relevant to my life now. It was something that was of the past, but not really for the 21st century. The voice said, no, I am not the gas lamp. I am the sunrise. And it spoke to me that actually the truth of the resurrection, if we lose our spiritual myopia, our short-sightedness, and we put the resurrection lens on, it's transformative. It should fill everything. It should fill us with hope. It's what gives us life on a daily basis. It's what fills this church with warmth and with color. It's what gives us breath. And it gives the whole of our life. Everything comes from the sunrise. S-O-N, and not just S-U-N. He said to me, I am not the gas lamp, I am the sunrise. So listen, if we get this, we see it here and here, it's transformative. If you face difficult things lately in your life, it can transform you. If you're struggling today with something that has occurred this week and something that you've come to know, it can transform you. It can send you into this week with a completely new perspective. You see, this is not something which is quaint and historical that we just keep going for a man's sake. No, it's everything. It's the sunrise. It sustains the whole of our life if we only knew it. And from it, you can take hope and faith and peace and security. You can sleep at night because it's a sunrise. And Christianity in that sense should pervade everything. There's a wonderful quote, I finish, from C.S. Lewis, that great intellect, atheist who became a Christian on the top of a London bus, can you believe? Professor, apologist for the faith. He said this, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. It should be all pervasive. should give us hope today. We will kneel later together and we will break bread on the first day of the week. Here we encounter the risen Christ. Here is our hope and our peace. Here is our future and our forgiveness. We should go out of this place today in whatever we are facing with a sense of joy, of a knowing. He is not the gas lamp. He is the sunrise. Amen.
Living God, long ago, faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Help us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and joy and amazement as real as was theirs when he first appeared to them. Gracious God, help us all to play an active part in the vision of the parish, focusing on Christ's call to all of us to be witnesses and to make disciples of all mankind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you gave us a beautiful world to live in and to care for. We know that in many areas our stewardship has been a failure. Yet through the victory of Jesus Christ, we know also that you can restore all things in glory. And so we pray for a change of heart and attitude, an awakening to a better way of living, and the courage to reject wrong principles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for our parish, that each of us might make use of our individual talents, enabling each church group to flourish as a witness to the one body of this church. Help us to spread the warmth of your love to everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for those who do not share our Easter joy, especially those living in the shadow of darkness and despair, and for those whose illness narrows their view of the world. We especially pray for those listed in Starlink, and in the quietness of our hearts, we raise before you those who we know who are also in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, for members of our families who have died and whose anniversary we recall. And we pray for those whose anniversaries fall this week, Harry Clench, Patrick Hughes, and Lawrence Price. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us, and the fellowship of the church family around us until we are reunited once more in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, in the week that lies before us, may we reflect your love in our families, our church, and our community, so that the world can see that we are followers of Christ and children of the Most High God, and draw others into his loving care. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.